because we don't want to just make a product. We want to make a product that is going to last it a lifetime. And we always want to improve that product. So the bottom line is that we, you know, it's one of those things, it's kind of like a ticker tape where, okay, you know what, this is what's going well. The water coasters are hotter than a pistol right now. The tornadoes are, you know, reducing radius funnels are hot as a pistol. What else can we do?
Welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and challenges facing the attractions industry today.
We chat with some of the top leaders in the field and provide resources that will help develop your career in this great industry.
I am Josh Liebman. I am obsessed with the guest experience and helping attractions make that their top priority for success.
And I'm Matt Heller. I am passionate about organizational effectiveness, leadership development, and employee engagement.
Now sit upright, hold on tight, and get ready for the Attraction Pros Podcast.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, Matt, I'm doing pretty well today. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Say, I have a question. I have a question for you.
All right, I'm excited.
So you've skied in the past.
I have.
What's been your favorite place to go skiing?
My favorite place to go skiing was a little over a year ago. It was in January of 2020. So it was actually like, you know, right before everything. My wife and I were in Italy. She had a conference in Rome. I went out and I joined her. And then we flew up to the northern part of the country where we skied in really the Italian Alps. And it was incredible. So what was really cool was we were right on the Italian, Swiss, and French border. So we never actually crossed international lines. We wanted to, but the place where we wanted to go, there was too much wind, so we couldn't ski there that day. But from some of the tops of the peaks that we were at, we would get to the top of the chairlift and we would look out. And in the same vantage point, while staying in Italy, we could see Mount Blanc in France, and we could see the Matterhorn in Switzerland. Wow. And I didn't think it was real. Like, it was just so amazing. And we ate lunch in this cabin on top of a mountain that had the year of the construction carved into it. And it was like 1743 or something like that. And I was like, we're eating in a restaurant that's older than America. So
that's pretty cool. Do you know what elevation you were at?
I don't specifically know, but I remember at one point, my wife Franny, she says to me, she looks up and she goes, wow, I mean, it is unbelievable how high up this mountain goes, especially when compared to, like, if you're skiing in the Rockies, which are really tall there. And I said, yeah, and not only looking up is so tall, but looking down, we're already like 3/4 of the way up the mountain.
Yeah.
It's like, this would be incredibly tall if we were at ground level.
Yeah.
So no, I'd have to look up the elevation.
Okay. I was just curious. So did you ever think about when you were skiing that that could relate to an amusement park ride?
Yes.
And how did you make that connection? I'm going someplace with this, and I think you know where I'm going.
I think I do too. Well, I can tell you that back in high school, when I was an avid skier, I raced in high school. I taught. That was one of my first jobs, was as a ski instructor. Being a roller coaster enthusiast was a summer activity, or an amusement park enthusiast, because roller coasters, thrill rides, water slides, anything that'll get your adrenaline pumping. Mm-hmm. I always felt like the closest thing to that was just racing down a mountain. And I always loved trying to tell myself that, hey, it's just like I'm riding a roller coaster, except I'm controlling it.
Yes.
When I'm on skis. So it's what can I do to keep my speed up while also, of course, maintaining control? So absolutely. So why do you ask?
I ask because our guest today has drawn a very close parallel from his experience skiing to now how he designs water slides. And of course, that's Rick Hunter of Pro Slide. And we get to hear all about his skiing prowess, but also how he uses that again to kind of fine tune how someone's going to experience a water attraction. And it's fascinating.
It really is. And first of all, one of my new life goals now is to just go skiing with Rick. I mean, we talked about water slides in this interview. We talked about amusement and the design process and the business strategy around all that. But there was so much that kept gravitating back to skiing and back to the, you know, the winter sport element of it, that you can see that he really takes his passion for that and brings that into the water slide business, which I think if you really connect those dots and how influential Pro Slide has been on the water park and water slide industry over the last 35, 40 years or so, that it's amazing to, I would say, get into Rick's mind and hearing how all of this was developed that we've experienced as consumers and many of us as operators as well.
Absolutely. You know, it actually reminded me of when we talked to Chris Gray, because he talked about the line on a coaster, and Rick talks about the line on a water ride or a water slide, and following that line and making sure that it's a comfortable ride, but it's also very thrilling. You know, one of his things is about speed. So where are you getting the speed? How are you maintaining the speed? And I just thought it was really fascinating. As someone like yourself, who's a coaster enthusiast, I don't really call myself a water park or water slide enthusiast, but I absolutely appreciate them and know that a lot of thought and passion goes into it. So for me, it was kind of eye-opening to hear about the level and the detail that Rick and his team go into in building a lot of these things. So I can't wait to get started and hear more of what he has to say.
Yeah, and I would say for our high level appreciation that we already had for you know, for water slides and water parks and you know, ride design in general, I think it just made it tenfold after being a part of this interview. So I'd say let's get straight to this amazing interview with Rick Hunter.
Rick Hunter, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer at Pro Slide Technology. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Attraction Pros podcast. Rick, how are you?
Hey, great. Honestly, considering that we're in the middle of a pandemic, we feel lucky. We, you know, stay safe, everybody. You know, our industry, luckily, is alive and well. We're all working hard to get the momentum back.
Absolutely. So, Rick, if people don't know you, can you tell them a little bit about you and your history and even how you came to fund or found ProSlide?
Sure. I feel very, very lucky. I feel a lot of gratitude to have arrived in the water park industry, in the theme park industry. And my background, actually, I've been in it now 40 years. I can't believe it. May of 2020 was my 40th anniversary. The whole thing has gone super quick. My background very quickly was I was a ski racer. And really, loved ski racing up in Canada. Lucky enough to make the national team up in Canada, raced World Cup, raced World Pro Series. And that was kind of, I'm a sports kind of guy. I come from hockey, gymnastics, and finally the skiing. And I bumped into a person in the Chicago airport in 1980 when I was coming back from a ski race. And I was finishing my last course for my master's in business. And this was after the ski team. And bottom line is that I met this person. This person worked in the theme park industry and with the Alpine Slide Company. And within about 20 minutes, he was offering me a job. And I was going to go into the ski business. I was racing for Spalding Skis and Kaber Boots. And he said, no, you have to work at Alpine Slide. And I said, well, let me think about it because I'm going in the ski business. But bottom line is I did luckily work with Alpine Slide. They were a mountain slide for winter ski areas in the summer. And they also built some water slides. I worked with Alpine for 6 years and there was a very entrepreneurial owner there. And he was working in many other industries. And he asked me, he said, you know what? I'm interested in other things, Rick. And would you work in these other businesses? And I said, geez, I'm a slide guy. Anyway, I tried to get involved with them and their water slides, but it didn't work out. And I had an uncle, my dad had passed away. I had an uncle that said, hey, you know what, Rick, you want me to get involved with you in trying to purchase that company, but we're not going to do that. But could you start your own? So, boom, I had an uncle that said, could you start your own? Never thought of it. Anyway, that's how that happened. I brought in Tanzer Yacht. Tanzer, a really good guy that could build tooling for me, and started 34 years ago in 1986, and literally been in it and working really hard. And we try to innovate all the time. That's my background. I've been in it 34 years with ProSlide and loving every minute of it. And this industry is incredible.
Rick, I have a question for you that's actually not related to ProSlide specifically, but you know, there's a lot of people out there who are looking for career development and career advice right now. So just curious, how do you get a job offer after a 20-minute conversation with a stranger in the airport?
Well, what was funny about that one was that, you know, he knew I was related to ski areas. And the bottom line is their major market was ski areas. And he said, there was a guy sitting right beside me. This is a guy named Jeff Sherrick. And he said the owner of the Alpine Slide Company was right here and he had to get on a flight. And we were talking about needing a guy to sell slides in Canada. And related to ski areas, you've got the ski racing background. You've skied at every ski area in Canada. And you're finishing your MBA. You're the guy we want to do this. And, you know, this was very quick. And that's just lucky, right? I mean, that was insanely lucky. What can I say? That's how it happened. But I think it was like, I think I might have provided some enthusiasm, you know, about, you know, anything sliding, you know, which is skiing or sliding. And so it was fluky, you know, and I sent them a resume, and the resume, you know, had the ski racing background, and, you know, and I had some letterhead because I was, you know, my MBA, I guess, or, you know, marketing, and, you know, it was a ski position, you know, on my letterhead. And apparently the owner said, we have to hire that guy. So it was just a fluke.
That's awesome. And, you know, Rick, before we started recording, you were telling us a little bit about slide design, and you said it's a lot like skiing, right? And you talked about riding a rut. So can you give us just a little bit of a background on how those two things are similar, skiing and water slide design?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Knowing a lot about water slides now, I would say to you that, you know, being able to turn and creating a smooth ride, in other words, back-to-back curbs, the way a great water ride works is that you would be coming into a new curve and you would actually create a longer radius curve going in, okay? So it wouldn't be abrupt. Once you, and of course, if you're riding a vehicle or you're riding on your body, you're going to start riding up on the wall. And once you're up on the wall in the comfort zone, you shorten the radius. So it's tighter. So you hug the wall. And then when we're coming around and finishing the turn, we would go back to a longer radius and we might accelerate going into the next curve, long radius, short radius. Ski racing is all about that. It's all about the line. It's all about carrying as much speed as you can. So in other words, if you can make a great turn at high speed, I mean, this is the ultimate, because if you don't do what I just said and you had very, very choppy corners, it would be unsafe or it would just be uncomfortable. So this was a massive advantage when I got involved with the industry. Even the Alpine Slide Company had, you know, it was a cart on wheels and it was longer radius. It was a match made in heaven. And every type of flume that we have created, Matt and Josh, literally we've created with the compounding, we call them compound corners. And now we start putting in the features. But skiing, it's just amazing that match is so important. So important.
Yeah.
So cool to see that connection. And I'm an avid skier myself, definitely not nearly to the same skill or expertise as your background, but I raced a lot in high school and I taught as well. And that's one of the things you're jogging my memory as far as making, you know, going from short radius turns to long radius turns. And when you're starting your turn before you're starting your next turn before you've even finished one of them. And then
you're at the gate. I mean, you turn above the critical point where you have to make the gate. And that's a really good point, Josh. And
yeah,
oh, it's it, and even when you're training, okay, which you know, we even say the same thing here, you know, a lot of what we do at ProSlide for new rides or new designs, you know, it's all about the preparation. It's all about the preparation. So even when you were training for ski racing, you were setting courses. So you could imagine, and you want to set a course that's interesting. It's not just swing gates, they're all the same. You want to create something that creates some interest. And obviously the expertise, like the best skier on the hill can actually make great turns no matter what the course has. They'll figure out how to be the smoothest and be the fastest. And so that's, it's in our DNA. It's in our DNA. We're lucky. Yeah.
You know, Rick, you talk a lot about innovation, and one of your most important jobs is to create innovation and inspire other people to be innovative. So how do you do that on a daily basis?
Well, again, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you kind of think, I think I always think of my office as a design office, you know, or, you know, a product development office. And I must admit, you're always on the lookout for what is working well, what could be improved, because we don't want to just make a product. We want to make a product that is going to last it a lifetime. And we always want to improve that product. So the bottom line is that, you know, it's one of those things, it's kind of like a ticker tape where, okay, you know what, this is what's going well. The water coasters are hotter than a pistol right now. The tornadoes are, you know, reducing radius funnels are hot as a pistol. What else can we do? Because, you know, we have a five-year product roadmap. Like we think 5 years ahead. You can't roll out everything at once, and you don't want to, like people can't absorb it. You're going to run over your next product. But the truth is that, you know, there's so many opportunities and so many indicators in our industry. Like there are some, like, let's face it, there are in the theme park industry, incredibly creative people everywhere. You know, what's that experience like? We follow the coaster companies, you know, roller coasters, like we're building water coasters. Well, I'm going to tell you that, like, our goal, as crazy as it sounds, is to make water coasters as entertaining and as thrilling as roller coasters. I mean, that's just in our DNA. And the interesting thing is that we create fiberglass, and we're not on a rail. Okay, so we're gravity driven. So there's a whole bunch of opportunities, like even a lot of coaster enthusiasts have ridden our water coasters, like when we did Wildebeest, that's one best water park that golden tickets for 10 years in a row. The coaster aficionados, you know, the coaster enthusiasts, they go there and they go to Holiday World and they rode Wildebeest and they said, we cannot believe it, the thrill level. And you know, we're only dropping like 35, 40 feet, right? That's nothing compared to a coaster. But because you're not on a rail, you know, your gravity and you're kind of floating like a magic carpet. So we have an opportunity with what we do, and it's real. It's real. Like, I mean, you know, we have a big responsibility. Hey, you're not on a rail. You're not restrained. You know, I'm joking, but stay the heck in that raft. You know, you know, and of course, people are hanging on for dear life, right? The other thing that I would say, and it reminded me of skiing, was when you have a great ride or, you know, something that works extremely well, it could be a drop, an accelerator, it could be like a really dynamic turn. Take the video when you're skiing well. You know, you take the video when you're not skiing well. Well, double time, take it when you're skiing well and break it down. What is going right? Is it, I mean, you know, your upper body, you know, I mean, it's all, when you're skiing, it's all about carving skis. It's all about your knee drive, and it's all about the ski being in the right, you're loading up your ski so that you're carving. Well, bottom line is, if you're leaning in, your weight is inside the skis. You want to take your arm and put your arm out over the skis, and it draws your upper body over the lower ski. Well, that's Ingemar Stenmark, or that's, you know, Marshall Hersher, or, you know, every best skier in the world knows these tricks. And by the way, it's a must. So those things kind of really go through our brain. And, you know, like when we're doing our own critical analysis of rides, we don't fool around, you know. I mean, it's and by the way, it's not like you're at the everything we do, like, you know, it's once you've done it a whole bunch, that's the lucky part. It's life in the fast lane. Like, you know, you drive in the fast lane and you're used to going fast and it actually becomes a normal speed.
Yeah.
So I just said it, but it's true. You know? So
that's great.
There's all kinds of opportunities for new products. But it's amazing when you build a product that others wouldn't have imagined, where you do get other companies that try to copy that, or, you know, because it's almost a must. The bottom line is, though, if you didn't create the intent, like purposeful design, and you really don't understand why did we do that? Why mm-hmm. does that ride work so well? You know, and that's really critical. That's really critical. And that's the way it goes, you know, like so it is, let's face it, we're having fun. But we have to be very financially responsible to our clients and to ourselves. But you know what? It's all gratitude. And you said it earlier, you know, attitude of gratitude. I mean, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. So Rick, so for some of the most popular Pro Slide models, you're using terms like hotter than a pistol or going viral. And I'm wondering if we can talk about that for a second, because it's 2021. And if someone's talking about going viral, it's on TikTok with a dance video or something like that. Mm-hmm. And how do we then bring that into, you know, manufacturing of water slides, which is probably the polar opposite of making a 10-second video on my phone and now it blows up all over the internet. But for a slide that's been designed with that attitude of gratitude towards your clients and that specific, you know, like you said, that precision of the design, that it then becomes a product that is recognized all over the world, like the tornado example you know, that you were talking about earlier. So I guess, how does a water slide go viral?
You know, it might be the way that you hold the idea, you know, in your thought process. Like, I think, you know, coming from ski racing and creating water rides that nobody would expect. Okay. So like this is like an amazing opportunity to build something that people wouldn't expect. So even then, we were talking about that earlier, but you know, as far back as 1988, 89, when we created the world's first mammoth river, and you saw what could happen. Like in 1987, we were still just doing two-person double donut figure eight inner tubes, inline inner tubes, just two people. And that was considered like really good. And, you know, everybody wanted tubing rides. Well, you know, I again, listening to our clients, you know, I mentioned Ned Stancliffe from Whitewater, Atlanta, Georgia, who was part of Hirsch and family. And he said, Rick, if you did, you know, there's somebody building a gunite, like a concrete ride that's got six people in it. And if you built that ride, I think it would go viral. I mean, I can't remember if he used those words, but those are the words I use now. And I thought, that is brilliant. You know, like, I mean, because a six-person ride, 14 feet wide with an 8-foot raft, will behave similar to a 84-inch, or for a two-person tube, 84-inch and 14 feet. So 7 feet versus 14. Gradients have to change. But the bottom line is that I went ahead, and you guys know the story, but I built a prototype of a 14-foot wide ride, which was the first mammoth family raft ride in the world. And I sold the first one to Paramount Parks at Kings Island, Dave Foki and the whole group. And the thing was so popular, everybody went to see it. And I was the first to experience, you know, there was 10 years now 10 years of water park, almost 14 years, where the water park started from nothing in the late 70s to 1990. And that was the first product in the world that went, honestly, it went viral. Like, I mean, we were the only company at the time that had the Mammoth River. And, you know, I'm just going to name off a few. Like, it, you know, Paramount was first, George Millay at Wet n' Wild Orlando, Noah's Ark, you know, Congo Bongo. The other Paramount parks picked it up right away. I mean, Raging Waters, San Dimas. You know, you went around, you know, Six Flags weren't ready yet. They were a little later, but the whole thing went viral. And I came back and immediately built a slightly smaller Mammoth for five people because it was more cost effective. And that thing went off the charts. Within another 3 years, I built the world's first dark Mammoth for 4 to 5 people. And that thing went viral. Like, it changed the economics of a water park. Like, the water park was all kind of individual rides and up to two people. But when you had the family going, people started calling it like, this is like roller coasters. So that thing went crazy. Water parks just started taking off. And Noah's Ark, in the about mid-90s, they bought everything we built, like through the 90s. Every product that we had, Noah's Ark in Wisconsin Dells built it. And they went from about 5,000 people, maybe 4,000 people a day. And within maybe it's a decade, 16,000 people a day in a water park, unheard of. And everybody went to the Dells and then, you know, Noah's Ark. I mean, the story has it, you know, the Watermans, Jack and Turk Waterman, built the first Black Wolf Lodge that became Great Wolf Lodge. You know, the Dells were the most prolific water ride area on the planet, almost like the thing just exploded. And then, and the USA, good old USA. I mean, amazing, amazing country, and amazing the way the water parks took off. It was insane. And that sparked viral. I mean, it was just like, you know, it was crazy. It was crazy good.
Well, so let's go from crazy good to crazy not so good. We are recording at this at the end of end of February in 2021. And again, before we started recording, you were telling us a little bit about some of the things that ProSlide was going through based on the pandemic. And I wonder if you could kind of share that, because I think that also ties back to your attitude of gratitude and how grateful you are and your organization is to still have business as we move forward. So can you tell us a little bit about how COVID has impacted ProSlide?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, we, again, over the last 3 decades, you know, we became quite global, and we're very global in the last decade for sure. We're all over Asia and Middle East and the whole bit. But I would say this, that when COVID hit, okay, I mean, it hit all of us like a ton of bricks. It was, I remember March 15th, you know, like I was going to be in Florida. Well, no, you can't go to Florida right now. Everybody's moving, you know, moving back, and the panic has hit, and it hit so quickly. You know, as we know it, all of the U.S. basically shut down. It shut down Canada, North America shut down, Europe shut down. It just so happened we were doing business in China and Southeast Asia and Vietnam and Indonesia. And although the pandemic, you know, was in Wuhan and, you know, it was in China, we all remember back there where somehow they relatively, with their lockdowns, you know, that they were really tight on, they actually started coming out. We were all wearing masks on Zoom calls, you know, from March, but, you know, March, April, May, June. I mean, we got masks on, you know, everybody's in the Western world. And China's coming out, and we're on the Zoom calls with China. So I'll just say this, that, you know, they started coming out, so they were still purchasing, but the US and Europe and Australia and the Western world just locked down like crazy. So, and by the way, all of this matters, I always say, and being extremely sympathetic, like, and we've been through every downturn in the last, you know, 4 decades. A downturn, like, you're it's tough. It's tough everywhere. The pandemic's way worse. I mean, people are dying, for God's sakes. It's way worse. But when you have a business, and when you own a business, and we're all the same, you got to get up every day and figure out, what are we going to do best today? What can we do best today to help our clients? So immediately we phoned all of our clients, just to put it in perspective, Six Flags, SeaWorlds, all of our, every client, and said, if there's anything we can do, we look at, you know, first of all, we're all in this together, and whatever we can do to help you, you know, if it's the lockdown, we get it. And you know, if you can pay us for what we've done. If you can't pay us, you can't pay us. But we know the one thing that we always, and everybody that I've been involved with in this industry, are the most, really the most passionate people. You know, they're second to none. They're second to none. And we've been through a ton with gratitude, because there's been some really good times, but this is another really bad time. So whatever we can do to help each other. And one thing you always know is that they're always going to do what they can. And for us at ProSlide, being a supplier, if you don't have work, get busy and try to find work. You know, whatever we can do to cut the losses, do our best, you know. And one of our missions was to not lose any people. You know, what could we do? Like, you know, what can we do, and how can we? And we were lucky enough to have a number of projects that kept going. You know, the Soaky Mountains of the world. I mean, the American Dreams, and, you know, the U.S., some people were able to keep going. They weren't the big companies just have so much overhead, you know, and they couldn't continue their projects, but some smaller guys could. And then, you know, we certainly started to figure out, how can we make sure that we, wherever work is, that we try and focus on that. But again, channels of communication, close, close, close. And, you know, everybody started to absolutely, when are we coming out? What can we do? How can we help each other? You know, so I would just say, it's been really tough, for sure. I mean, again, a company like ours, we are lucky to be as global as we are, because there's pockets around the world that manage to keep going. But you have to be careful, right? And whatever we can do to help others, we got to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know what more to say. Like, it's until, like, you know, people are just hoping to heck the vaccines are coming out, you know, herd immunity is coming. Orlando, like today, I mean, there were great reports about, you know, people, the pandemic, I mean, everybody wants to get outside. We just don't want to get outside with too many people without social distancing and cause another lockdown. But you know what? I just got to say it. We are lucky to be in this industry, because it's going to come barreling out, you know, when it's safe. Now, we're lucky. People love what these parks and what these experiences stand for. And it just
gets,
yeah.
Yeah. Curious, Rick, as far as the conversations that you and your team have been having, as far as, well, is there are additional enhancements to how water slides are designed and delivered for the industry while operating in, you know, in a pandemic, or kind of lingering concerns for that, as far as making sure that people are staying far apart from each other while they're on the slide, which I guess is probably a more socially distant activity than, you know, a roller coaster with a large train or other, you know, other attractions,
yeah.
or waiting in line, or as far as how it's impacting how water slides might change, yeah, in the future.
Joshua, we did feel as soon as we hit, the majority of water parks are outside, but we have a lot of indoor water parks too. So no doubt the outdoor concept, people were feeling actually pretty comfortable with, especially when we heard that, you know, COVID isn't necessarily transferable in chlorine. Okay, and in, you know, water treatment areas. So that was a massive, I mean, that would have really hurt us if that wasn't true, but that seems to be the case. So outdoor, we felt like we could distance and we can distance, you know, queue lines, you can, I mean, you just got to distance. No doubt that the restrictions in terms of volume, you know, is it 50%? Is it 40%? What is it? But whatever it is, you know, we're still outdoors. The treatments, you know, in the F&B areas, you know, no doubt that, you know, that's the tricky part. So it's almost like takeout food. You know, everybody started doing what they could to make that experience better. So we felt pretty good about it. There's no doubt that the hotels, water park hotels and things, it's tougher, but everybody got on the bandwagon. And when you think about it, the way that we all grew up in the theme park industry, I mean, there's a lot of thought process that goes on in the parks. I mean, you know, to be safe, like the whole thing's about safety, you know, and I think that for the most part, although the governments, you know, that's the tough part. Like, I mean, I would have trouble working in government. I just would, but that doesn't mean that that's not the way to go. It just means that, you know, you kind of have to group the way that you operate things, the way that you regulate things, like it's, you know, kind of broad brushstroke. So I know that a lot of the theme parks, you know, California, I mean, New York, there was a lot of everybody's closed. And, you know, like that seemed unfair, but, when people are actually threatened, you know, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. So we felt like we can do things. And for the most part, you know, I think the water park industry has been pretty lucky for the most part, other than when they just got shut down and that didn't seem right.
Yeah. Rick, I want to dive a little deeper into what you were just talking about with your thought process, because I think it's probably, at least the three of us know, and probably anybody listening, that when we go into a water park or an amusement park, we're thinking a little differently than the general public, right? So I'm curious, for someone with your experience and your background, when you walk into a water park or an amusement park, what are you thinking? Like, what's going through your mind? What are you looking for?
Well, it's just a natural for me, you know, it's like a SWOT, you know, strengths, weaknesses, you know, opportunities, threats, what's going on. And I immediately think, because somehow it's been in my DNA for a long time, and that's my job, is to make other people the best they can be, you know, and it's just the way it goes. Like, you know, being a coach, Joshua was a coach too. I coached a lot of summer camps actually after the team. And okay, you know, you're going in and doing an examination. And by the way, that's the job. Thank God we love it. And it's a natural thing, but it's like, okay, you know, if I owned this, what would I do? You know, it happens every time. I mean, it just, and I don't want to be overly critical, but when somebody asks me a question, usually I have an answer, and it will be an answer that, you know, I'm lucky because I've had so much experience and been in so many parks that a lot of the stuff if I'm going to mention it, it's normally got great value. But it is about that. So I look at that and I go, okay, I remember too, you know, say George Millay, or, you know, could even at Wet n Wild, we had a lot of fun. Will Cook and I had a lot of fun at Holiday World, because we would walk around Holiday World and I would say, you know what, that's on that area under the under those roller coasters, you know, and it could be the Legend, it could be, you know, the Raven. I said, there's nothing happening there. I'm going to put a water park, I'm going to put a water ride in there, and that's going to become the most valuable real estate in your park. And he loved that. And by the way, we crisscrossed those coasters. We went over them, you know, like if you go to Holiday World now, you know, the Tornado, which was, he was the early adopter. We started that in the middle of the Legend up on the hill. And sure enough, you know, we did a 360, you know, back to back, and dropped through the, you know, the woody, you know, supports. And sure enough, right into the 60-foot Tornado. So everything to do with Holiday World, I'm telling you, like I found every spot in that park, you know, to be able to, it's almost like doing, there's an industrial area in town. Okay, you know, and it's just an old factories. Okay, well, let's go in there and do some real estate. You know, like, let's build something that's funky and let's turn that into a really attractive place to go. So I think of that constantly in existing parks, theme parks or water parks. The other thing that goes along with that is when people say, well, I want to build a water park. And I say, okay, let's start thinking about that. And I start to go into, and they would say, well, you know, I have this 10 acre plot. And I'm saying, can you not get more land? You know, right away, like, because what's going to happen, you know, say that this is a great market area in a town, you know, and there's only one water park or whatever there is, but there, you know, bloody well, there's enough demand in there, enough demographic, you know, to build a good water park. You build a water park that you can expand, because you will get to a point. Water parks are so positive, and we're, you know, I always say, because it's true, today is the best day. Like, you couldn't have a better time to get into the water park industry. And that's been every day for the last 30 years, because we continue to develop new attractions that in fact continue to make the family experience better and better and better. So that it's, you know, it, but it's true. And, you know, we have been involved. We've been lucky. We've had so many great relationships, and so many people have been so successful. The return on investment has been absolutely through the roof.
Yeah.
I think that story is really cool of you and Will Cook standing over by the legend and talking. Yeah. Because every time I've been to Holiday World, I just look at that and think, like, what a cool, creative use of space. And yeah. Learning the backstory of how that was developed.
And you know, they're, you know, with this interaction, you know, like, it adds value. Even if you're walking up, you're queuing up to a water ride, you know, and the, sure enough, the legend comes around, you know, doing the spiral, you know, and it's like, I'm in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like cue the pigeons, or, you know, cue the dolphins, right? Cue the legend.
So curious too, Rick, as far as, you know, all of the designs that you've come up with and love hearing about, you know, your inspiration from skiing and hearing all that. I guess the question is, you know, what's left? What can't people do on a water slide yet? Of course, not asking for, you know, what's, you know, what are some trade secrets coming soon? About that. But as far as just, you know, we were talking about innovation earlier, and that can only extend, that can only keep growing. So what are some wild ideas of saying, oh, it'd be amazing to do XYZ with a water slide or with guests on a water slide?
Well, Josh, I think the key is that, you know, when you're a skier, and I'm just going to use that kind of analogy again, but when you go to a different ski area, or you might go out west, go to Aspen, go to Vail, you know, go to Copper, whatever, or go to the Northwest, when you go to those areas, it goes, my God, what an experience. You know, when I go to Colorado, Rocky Mountain High, the powder is lighter, you know, whatever. But it's the runs, you know, it's the various, you know, runs that you would, you know, have a ski experience down, like could be Aztec, could be anything. But what I would say is that, you know, you kind of fuel your own imagination. And I would say this, that at the being in the sort of the middle of all of this, with all of these rides, and of course, you know, we go and we ride Verify and we open rides, you know, we're opening at Atlantis the Palm in Dubai this Saturday, and we've, you know, we put a bunch of new rides in, and they're all, you know, they're coasters, you know, and they're Mammoth River coasters, we call it the Mammoth Blast, you know, we've got Head First Matt Racing. I'm telling you that there are so many good rides out there right now that, you know, what's left, like, what's left is nobody would even have imagined what's going on now. So when you go and ride those things and you go, this is outrageous, you know, it's something else pops in your mind because you've already exceeded expectations. Like, you are so far ahead, and somehow that fuels it. Like, it's like, We used to ski on 223s, you know, like, I mean, downhill skis, you know. Well, they don't anymore. They're 212s. We used to ski 212s for giant slalom, and now I've got a new pair of skis. They're 176 centimeters, right? But, and so you ski differently. But the bottom line is that I just think the sky's the bloody limit. And with that, and, you know, I mean, I could tell you, you know, we do coasters. We're doing limb coasters, linear induction motors. We're doing blast nozzle technology, water. That whole water coaster thing, that thing's going viral. And, you know, we're coming out with all kinds of things, you know, for the future now. And, you know, when you do create a profile, you actually have an opportunity, you know, like we've got parts that we're now building coasters. Okay, what are the features that we could put on that coaster to even enhance that? You know, I mean, that flying saucer I told you about before this, before the cast started, the podcast. I mean, this thing, like this is an accelerating turn that has limitless opportunities. You know, I mean, now we're doing giant slalom water slides, back-to-back, you know, flying saucers. I mean, you think you were in a World Cup giant slalom course. So there, you know, without giving you definitive things, I mean, it's, you can't believe there's just all kinds of stuff. You know, there's all kinds of stuff. We might even get into, you know, things like stationary waves, or, you know, like surfing is really coming into the water park thing. It's a big deal. They're talking about endless surf, you know, talking about wave pools. So there's no shortage of thought process. But even like what's really cool about it is there's lots of places in the world that don't have this level of water park. So there's all kinds of business opportunities with, and it's not just what we have now. Like you, like if we put in every new ride that we have in the last 5 years, it would be better than any other water park in the world. It really would. I mean, yeah. You know, and that encourages people to expand in their market area. Like, you know, I don't want to compete with our clients, but the truth is, you know, I'm not going to stop. I can't stop other people from competing with anybody or working, you know. But the thing is that the water park industry globally is absolutely blowing up. I mean that, like, I mean, it's, water's everywhere. And, you know, real estate development, retailtainment, like American Dream. I mean, it's, and you know what, there's a number of us, and you're included totally, in terms of how are we going to manage this? How are we going to manage all this? Like, that's our job, you know, because, I mean, it's, water is fun.
And we have talked a lot about water so far on this podcast, but Rick, I have a kind of an off topic question. Do you have a favorite non-water attraction?
I love all the thrill rides, you know. I love coasters. I mean, I'll ride, if I'm anywhere near a theme park, I'm going to ride every coaster. I love them. I literally love them, you know. And I'm kind of a speed guy, you know, for sure. You know, and the dynamics, and, you know, like you want to roll into those, you know, you want to be, you got to anticipate, you know, and you're, and, you know, it is all about, like, it's just like, how fast can we go and how smooth can we be?
Yeah.
So I love coasters. And I love environments. I must admit, like, I tell people, you know what, you're going to build a water park. The number one thing, forget about my rides right now. Put those over there. You build an environment that people want to be in forever. Like, they want to go there and they want to come back and they want to come back. You build an environment, we'll take care of the rides. Mm. You know, and that's true. Like, I mean, come on, like, you know, because in Canada, we always grew up at the cottage in the summer.
Okay.
So it's about the environment, you know, like, I mean, I remember this is something as far as passion goes, you know, we were, you know, on about a 7-horsepower, you know, tin boat, you know, on 2 skis when we were 7. And then we drop one, right? You drop a ski, right?
Yeah.
So, and then, of course, you go on any piece of wood behind the boat and do 360s on it, right? So when you grow up like that, the love of water, the love of that activity, I mean, it's just like, you know, and I want to bring all that skiing and I want to bring all that really enjoyment to the families and the guests of our clients, you know, water parks, you know.
That's amazing. Rick, we really appreciate this. And I know we're starting to wind this down here and get close to the end, but one last question here. And going back to skiing, actually. Yeah. And Matt asked what your favorite non-water ride is. And I'm curious, what is your favorite or best place you've ever skied?
The one place that I was actually watching a video earlier this morning, for whatever reason, I raced Kitzbühel Slalom, okay, the World Cup. And I just went back to 1974 and I saw Hansi Hinterseer win that slalom. You know, that you can actually go on YouTube. So I would just say like Kitzbühel or, you know, Wengen, some of the big mountains over there, the big World Cup races. I mean, I like that. But the number one that stands out is Portillo, Chile. Mm. And Portillo, Chile, you know, not that far out of Santiago, it's got a run called the Roca Jack. And the Roca Jack is, you know, it's above the tree line and it's an avalanche slope.
Oh, okay.
All of the national teams back in the early 70s, the US team, the French, the Swiss, the Italians, I mean, everybody, because they didn't have glaciers that were operational in Europe, everybody would go there. So Portillo, Chile, the Roca Jack, and it was so steep and we would train downhill on that avalanche slope, but it was in the spring, it was August, so it's the spring there, and we would have those ruts. You'd drop off with 223 centimeter downhill skis, and in turn one you'd drop because it's steep, and it would just be like a bobsled run. Turn one you'd be going 20, turn two you drop into turn two you're going 40, turn three you're going like 50 60, and by the time that you finished those ones, then you were in a full tuck going across, like still dropping fairly steep. And then across a flat, you'd be going 80. And so that one stands out. Just
That's nuts. Add that to my bucket list.
Definitely. Or Chile. And there's other ski areas down in, you know, outside of Santiago now, you know, that are just amazing. So
sounds great.
Gotta do it.
Well, so now I either want to ride a water slide or go skiing, one of the two. So, Rick, this has been a fascinating conversation, and I really appreciate the time you've been able to spend.
Hey, Matt. Oh,
yeah, sure.
Can you see the snow outside?
We can, yeah.
Okay, well, it's snowing like crazy right now here in Ottawa.
It's awesome. Well, Rick, thank you again for your time today. If people want to know more about you or more about ProSlide, where would you send them?
Yeah, please go to proslide.com. So www.proslide.com, P-R-O-S-L-I-D-E. And you will be able to pick up, you know, any other, a lot of information on there. And then by all means, you've got our contact data on there, and we would love you to give us a call, and we would love to follow up. Anything water ride, anything water kingdom, you know, we love it, and we'd love to help you love it.
Excellent.
I really appreciate it, Matt and Josh. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate your time today. This was just an amazing conversation. So glad that we had the chance to talk to you. And for everyone out there who is listening and watching, we are all attraction pros.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Attraction Pros podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you can tune in when new episodes release. And even better, please leave us a review on iTunes.
For more information, visit attractionpros.com.